Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had one post on sportsmedres.org, that's res.org. This post reported a study where the authors found that football players with significant subconcussive impacts had impaired near-point convergence before and after full contact practices compared with their baseline scores. However, football players with less intense head impacts showed no changes over time. Hence, near-point convergence may be a useful clinical tool to implement in sports at risk for subconcussive impacts. If we take a closer look at this post, we see that the authors noticed that the high and low impact groups had similar near-point convergence at baseline. However, the higher impact group had greater worsening over time that resolved by postseason. Conversely, the lower impact group had no change in near-point convergence over time. There was no change in sign and symptom scores between groups from preseason to postseason. Overall, the authors found that repetitive subconcussive head impacts might compromise near-point convergence function without athletes reporting changes in symptoms. However, this only occurred in the high impact group, which was exposed to greater number and magnitude of impacts. The decline started with the pads on practices, which is not surprising because this is when contact begins. It was alarming to see the decline worsen across contact practices. Fortunately for these players, they showed improved near-point convergence after a 3-week rest period after the season. This may suggest that ocular motor function could reflect subclinical brain damage and recovery. It'll be interesting to see if future studies confirm these findings, especially among studies that perform baseline testing close to the start of football training camp practices. Healthcare professionals, athletes, and parents should be aware of the potential harm to the ocular motor system from subconcussive blows. Though further research is necessary to investigate the clinical relevance, the authors demonstrate that adding a near-point convergence measurement to a baseline concussion protocol could be beneficial in subclinical concussions. One of the things I liked about this study was the use of a simple clinical exam to provide us some new additional information. If you think about it, measuring near-point convergence doesn't take a lot of equipment, and it doesn't cost a lot of money to do. So once we feel comfortable assessing it, we could easily deploy it with our athletes and gain this extra piece of information that seems to come from assessing near-point convergence. I always enjoy when investigators are looking at these type of tests that are so easy to implement in a clinical setting. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was an article from the British Journal of Sports Medicine, in which the authors concluded that the optimization of prophylactic benefits of neuromuscular training programs among female athletes were influenced by the age of participants, dosage of neuromuscular training, exercise variations within neuromuscular training, and utilization of verbal feedback. These are key components for us to think about when we're starting to plan to implement neuromuscular training programs to reduce injury risk among our teams. If you're an athletic trainer who's looking to get an early start with their evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 4 online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these and the post that we referenced today on our podcast website. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.